in Nehemiah chapter 2, verse number 17. The Bible says, "Then I said to them, 'You see the bad situation we're in, that Jerusalem is desolate and its gates burned by fire. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem so that we will no longer be a reproach.' I told them how the hand of God had been favorable to me, and also about the king's word which he had spoken to me. And then they said, 'Let us rise and build.' So they put their hands to the good work. But when Sanballat the Horonite, and Tobiah the Ammonite official, and Gershom the Arab heard it, they mocked us and despised us and said, 'What is this thing you're doing? Are you rebuilding against the king?' So I answered them and said to them, 'The God of heaven will give us success. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But you have no portion, right, or memorial in Jerusalem.'" To just set the stage for a minute, what's happening is Jerusalem had been left desolate because they had been carried away into captivity. 70 years they were in captivity, and Jerusalem just languished with nothing much going on in the city. And first there was Ezra, who came back with a group of individuals who returned, and they began to try to restore and to do some work there. And now Nehemiah comes along because God put a burden on his heart that he went before the king and asked permission and asked provision so that he might be able to help out with his homeland. And it appears now that things are beginning to move. You know, sometimes it takes a lot to get things to happen in the church and for God's people. If you've ever been trying to get somewhere, I want you to know that sometimes it takes some time and it takes some energy to get there. Am I talking to anybody? Yes, sir. If you're trying to have some success at something, sometimes it just seems like it's not going as fast as it should. But I want to share some things with you today. Because this week has been a week that has encouraged me. It's been very encouraging, and all of the things that went on this week. And I thought that I should share those things with you and encourage you. And I chose Nehemiah because Nehemiah is a very encouraging chapter and book. When we begin to look at it, we see all of the things that God did as he helped Nehemiah accomplish something that was a great task. And so I just want to say this morning, it really feels good when you do things for the Lord. Can I get an amen on that? Amen. Yes. The title of the message this morning is "To the Glory of God." To the Glory of God. And I'm saying that because as we look at the text, we notice that Nehemiah is encouraging and is rallying his brethren to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem. The walls have been decimated. They have been torn down. They're in rubble and they're in shambles, and they've been burned, and they're all broken apart, the wall is. And you might say, why a wall? Because in today's society, we don't build a lot of walls, but it was necessary during that time. The wall became a means of protecting the city and a means of keeping the wild animals from entering in to the city. So it was necessary to have the wall. The wall was significant of the fact that here's a striving metropolis, because it is protected, because it has wonderful things going on inside those walls. And so, as we look at this, I first want to say to you that this was a service to the glory of God. We do a lot of things in life, but not everything is a service that's dedicated to the glory of God. So many times we do things for selfish reasons. We do things because the boss told us to do them. Amen. But there are so few times do we do something that is to the glory of God. In other words, God gets the shining praise. God gets all of the glory for what comes about. Well, as Nehemiah began to rally the people, one of the things that we see from reading this text is that the people got involved. As a matter of fact, most of the people got involved. And there's something that we can see from this is that they were depending on God for their success. You notice that Nehemiah says, the God of heaven will give us success. He didn't say, because we are so strong, because we are so smart, because we have a bunch of architects, because we have an army of engineers. He said, but the God of heaven will give us success. You know, because when it's said and done, we're just a ragtag group of folks that's trying to do something that needs to be done. He understood how important it is to depend on God for your success. Because I got news for you. God will beat an engineer every day. Amen. God will trump an army every time. God will defeat the enemy, and God will lift you up. And so you're better off if you depend on God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you so that always having all sufficiency in everything, you may have an abundance for every good deed or good work. It's God who makes it possible. It's God who can strengthen your hand. It's God who can get the job done. Amen. And so, folks, before you start grunting and complaining and sweating, bring God on board. Bring God on board and turn it over to God and say, God, would you help me with this? And you'll be surprised what will get done. Amen. As we look at the text a little further, let us notice that they worked hard together. And chapter 3, beginning at verse 1, and I'm just going to read a few verses, but the whole chapter 3 is devoted to how these individuals, how these Jews who had returned from the captivity, how that they banded together and how they worked to accomplish this. The Bible says that they did this according to their abilities, and they did this according to their locality where they were. You know, in other words, they weren't doing necessarily something that was totally beyond their abilities and going way beyond where they were. But they began where they were and they worked hard. Let me just give you a little insight. The Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 3, then Eliashib, the high priest, arose with his brothers, the priest, and built the sheep gate. They consecrated it and hung its doors. They consecrated the wall to the tower of the hundred and the tower of Hananel. Next to him, the men of Jericho built. And next to them, Zakur, the son of Imri, built. And as you read on through that chapter, it's going to name individuals and it's going to say they built and they did this. And next to them, somebody else did this. Do you see what's happening? They were having a renaissance. They were having a revolution going on as they were building this particular wall. Each one of them stood shoulder to shoulder, back to back, and they worked hand in hand. You know, that's a good plan for building anywhere, for restoring and making anything better. In other words, you fix up your house, you cut your grass, and you paint your house, and your neighbor next to you, if he or she does the same thing, pretty soon then we're going to have a bunch of pretty houses and lawns throughout the whole city of Detroit. Amen. And you know, so many times we want somebody to come and do something for us. How about we roll up our sleeves and do something for ourselves? How about we work a little bit? How about we work hard to accomplish something for ourselves? Oh, you know where I'm going. But they did this, all of them, according to their ability. They got involved. And then they finished the task. I'm kind of giving you an overview here. In chapter 6, verse number 15, the Bible says, so the wall was completed on the 25th of the month of Elul in 52 days. That month is corresponded to August and September on our calendar. In 52 days, they were able to bring this wall that had been destroyed. They were able to erect it, put it back together, join it together, and put the things that were necessary for them to have peace, protection, and to be functional. They brought those things to pass in 52 days. I want us to think about something that we did this week, because I've been encouraged by it, and it's just a microcosm. It's just a small effort, but nevertheless, some of the same principles were at work this week. Because we had a vacation Bible school, and we also had a picnic. You know, some folks think this stuff just happens, you know, out of the air. You know, it's magic. It isn't. But there were a lot of people who worked hard this week to bring it all together. I'm just going to run through a litany of things. We had a very good vacation Bible school, thanks to Brother McGee as he coordinated it. We had new teachers who taught classes. I believe there were three or four new teachers who taught classes. We had very good participation from the congregation, 90 on Tuesday and 135 on Wednesday and 90 on Thursday. And we had young people who led songs, acted out strips. Members who prepared the lesson theme by decorating the building throughout. We had members who picked up and brought visitors to Vacation Bible School. We had members who worked with the children to do arts and to do crafts. We had a team of members who prepared the nightly snacks, and everybody say yay to that. We had others who made sure the building was clean each night after the event. We had some friends, some grandmothers, and some godmothers who watched babies so that their parents could serve during this time. Amen? Amen. And we had members who picked up others and drove them to Vacation Bible School and to the picnic. We had members who went out and shopped for food and snacks. We had a kitchen crew who cooked some of the food the day before the picnic. We had cooks who grilled the food the day of the picnics. And we even had someone who snuck in with a peach cobbler under the radar, but it got eaten up because the folks found out it was there. We had members who went to the park to set up and to arrange things. And so what you see then is you see the church working hard together. And we were able to accomplish some things, and God blessed us with some things, and we were able to get it all done because it was to the glory and it was to the honor of God. Amen. You see, folks, when we work, when we serve to the glory and honor of God, good things happen. Good things happen. We can say just like Nehemiah did to his folks, let us rise and let us build. It was mentioned in the prayer that we, you know, we're working here to try to build up this congregation. We're working here to be an example, a representation, a duplication of the Lord's church that you read about in the New Testament. And because of that, then, when we work together, great things happen. Great things happen for the cause of Christ. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and verse number 12, for even as the body is one and yet has many members, though they are many, they are one body, and so also is Christ. You see, the church is not made up of one member, but the church is made up of all of the members. And when every member shows up and is present and is accountable and contributes to whatever they can do. You notice the priests couldn't do something that some of the masonry folk could do. Couldn't do something that the carpenters could do. Couldn't do something that the stone workers could do. But they did what they could do, what pertained to them, and their area was built up. When in the church we learn that we can do what pertains to us, when we learn that we can do what we have the ability to do, and when we bring our abilities and our gifts to the table and mix them up in the church, then the church is better off because we work together, because everyone does their part. You know, something as simple as singing is another example of how God wants us all to bring it all together. There's some brother that's got a beautiful tenor voice. Amen. There's some sister that sings soprano. There's someone who has a wonderful alto. And there's someone who me, like me, looks for the note to carry, but just joking. But we all put it together. And we got something going on, amen? Amen. And it sounds good, and it lifts our spirits. And let me tell you something. When a visitor comes into the midst, and when a visitor sees a people that are high on God, that are motivated and energized for God, then they say, I like this place, and I want to be a part of it. When they see us doing something, uplifting and giving glory and honor to God, then it's appealing. And we can't get enough of that. Let us notice in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 25 and 26, the Bible says, so that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care one for another. And if any member suffers, all of the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, then all the members rejoice with it. And so, we ought to think about that more. Is that we are all connected together. It's just like your hand and your foot. When your foot hurt, your head knows it. Amen. Matter of fact, you got, oh, my foot. But sometimes we act like, you know, that we got a member that's the foot and we don't even see the foot. We can't be like that. We have to acknowledge and recognize and be there for one another. Our bodies are designed such that whenever there's a weakness, whenever there's a problem in one area, a reinforcement goes to build it up, to strengthen it, and to heal it. We ought to be the same way, caring one for another. I'll give you another scripture. We ought to continue to energize ourselves by service to God. I find, and I've been hooked on it, I've been addicted to it for a long time now. And that is by serving God, giving God glory and honor. There's no greater feeling than to give God glory and honor. The Bible says, and let us consider how we can, or how to stimulate one another unto love and to good deeds. And I'm talking about Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and then 25 says, not the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together, as the habit of some is, but encouraging each other, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We ought to be in the business of stimulating, motivating, and encouraging one another. You doing good, brother. Keep it up. Man, that sound good. Oh, that was a wonderful thing you did. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad that you are on my team. I'm so glad that you're my brother in Christ or my sister in Christ. We need to build each other up because it's not easy. But when we give God glory and honor, what a wonderful thing it is. In 1 Corinthians 10 and 31, the Bible says, whatsoever you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Our whole lives ought to be about giving God some glory. Giving God some glory. You know, we like to shine. We like to be set apart and we like to give some. But let me tell you something. When you make God shine, when you give God glory, when you give God honor and praise, you can't help but be lifted up. Of course, Jesus said it in a different way, and Peter also said it, that if we humble ourselves, God will exalt us. Let me share with you that it's not always easy. We understand that it's not easy. Looking at Nehemiah and the example that the Bible gives us there, Nehemiah had some problems, didn't he? He had some folks that didn't want to go along with the program. Let me share that. Sometimes there are natural challenges to what we set out to do. Sometimes the weather just won't cooperate. Amen. And some of you know the forecast was it's going to rain on Friday. And I'm like, Lord, let it rain the night before. And it ended up it didn't rain at all. Praise the Lord. But sometimes there are weather challenges. Sometimes there are things that get in our way. Sometimes there are challenges that just happen. Accidents happen and other things. Sometimes there are health challenges that hinder us or make it harder. You know, hey, when we're feeling good and we're jumping around feeling spry, you know, then it's not a problem to do something. But when arthritis start kicking in and some other aches and pains, then it makes it a little harder. But that's when we have to keep on working through those things. Sometimes we don't have enough money to do what we want to do. You know, and it's one of those situations, anytime you set out to do something for God, you're going to face some of that stuff. You're going to face some weather problems. You're going to face some health problems. You're going to face some roadblocks. And you're going to, in many cases, face some lack of funds. And what that means is you're going to have to put some faith. You're going to have to put some trust in God. And when you put faith and trust in God, you will be pleasantly surprised that God will always work it out. That God will always make a way when you couldn't find a way. God will open the sea if he has to in order for you to be successful. Amen. God is able. God is able. Sometimes there are man-made challenges. Criticizing brethren. Opposing brethren. When we look at Nehemiah, did you notice that there were those who criticized Nehemiah, got angry? The Bible says that Sanballat, Tobiah, and Gershom became angry and they despised them. And that wasn't just the half of it. When you look at chapter 4, we find out that they got real nasty. First of all, they started out with criticism, you know, by saying, what are these feeble Jews doing? Verse number, I believe it's 2. And it says, are they going to restore for themselves? Can they offer sacrifice? Can they finish in a day? You know, and then one of them laughing, ha ha. Even what they building, if a fox should jump on it, he would break the stone wall down. You're saying they're so weak, they're feeble. Ha! Just look at them. What are they doing? You know, sometimes when people criticize you, it can demoralize you. It can discourage you. It can cause you to stop doing the good work that you set out to do. But we have to see, this is life, which really is. That when you start to do something good for God, when you start to live for God, somebody going to get in your face. Somebody's going to whisper in your ear, what you doing that for? And somebody going to say, oh, you get that much to church? Somebody is going to try to criticize and discourage you, but the success and the power and the glory of God comes when you keep on keeping on in spite of that criticism. And that's what Nehemiah and his brethren had to do. And then it got real nasty in chapter 4. Down to the point that it says, verse number 11, our enemy said they will not know or see until we come among them and kill them and put a stop to the work. They put the word out, we going to bum them off. We going to kill them. And now, you know, when folks just talk about us, we can have a little thick skin. But it gets a little tight when someone say, I'm coming over there and I'm going to knock your chip off. I'm coming over there and I'm going to put some bullets in your house and in you. Now it's a little serious, isn't it? And we got to give Nehemiah and the brethren some credit. But here's what they did. First of all, they prayed to God because they knew God had their back. And because they prayed to God, then they put a plan together. And the plan was such that some of them would stand guard, and they would guard from the Bible says that they were going to guard from the early in the morning until the stars come out. And the plan was that others was going to labor during the day. And in some cases, they had a tool to build the wall in one hand and a weapon and a spear, a bow and whatever in the other hand. They were, I'm telling you, here are some folks that once they made their mind up, they said, I'm going to build this wall. When we make our mind up that I'm going to follow Jesus, when we make our mind up that I'm going to be a teacher, when we make our mind up that I'm going to do the Lord's will, when we make our mind up that I'm going to be a leader in the Lord's church, when we make our mind up, we ought to stick to it. Amen. Just like they did. They were determined that nothing was going to turn them around. Folks, the biggest problem, one of the biggest problems we have in the church today is we are so easily turned around. Amen. But God needs us to be like Nehemiah, to realize the power that God has, to realize that God will not let you fail if you keep on doing his will. And it's a beautiful thing to know that God would do that for us. In spite of criticizing brethren, opposing brethren, and even negative-minded brethren. But I want you to know that the church, the Lord's church, the Church of Christ, is here and we exist for the purpose of building up, not tearing down. We're in the business of building bridges. We're in the business of encouraging. We're in the business of restoring and not tearing down. Listen to what the Bible says in Ephesians 4, beginning at verse number 11. It says, and God gave some as apostles and some as prophets and some as evangelists and some as pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all obtain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. In other words, God has given us the tools. God has given us the individuals. God has given us the plan. God has given us the purpose. And it's all for the fact that we need to be growing and building up and equipping ourselves that we might be useful in the kingdom of God. That the church might do what God put us here to do. And that regardless of whether how hard it becomes, regardless if the folks are criticizing us or if the folks are threatening us, we're still doing God's will. There have been Christians throughout the ages who've had to face that challenge. And those who remain faithful have been blessed. And that takes me to the last point, and that is, you know, it's a tremendous blessing that comes, a spiritual blessing and growth when we realize serving God is important. And here's the point. When we serve to the glory of God, it's worth it. It's worth it. It's worth it because God is pleased, number one. And you can't please anybody else that's more important. And I know we try to please the boss and boss lady, and we try to please our wives, and we try to please our husbands, and we try to please even the kids. But there's nobody more important than pleasing God. Because it's not the wife who's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Now I will make you ruler, or I'll put you in charge of many. Enter into the joys of the Lord. Wife ain't going to be able to do that in the final day. Kids either. Your boss either. But God can do that. And not only that, we need to understand Hebrews 11 and 6. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. It means that sometimes we have got to be busy doing and working and doing the Lord's will, even when it's hard, even when we don't see the outcome, and even when it seems like we ought to be doing something else. Amen? Amen. But if we just keep on, God will give us the blessing that only He can give. Certainly, we need to realize that it's worth it, because we receive blessings that only God can give. In Ephesians 1 and verse number 3, the Bible says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Spiritual blessings. And those are the only ones that last. You know, you can have a refrigerator full of food, but it's only going to last for a little while. If you don't eat it up, it's going to spoil. Amen. You can have a whole bunch of money, but it's only going to last for a little while. And if you don't know how to manage your money, it ain't going to last that long. Amen. You can have a big old fancy car and it's going to feel good cruising for a while. But after a while, you're going to need some shocks. You're going to need some springs. You're going to have some brakes fixed, and pretty soon you're going to find that you are driving around in a piece of junk. It's not going to last forever. Only the spiritual blessings that come from God will last throughout a lifetime and throughout eternity. And so we need to labor for those spiritual blessings that God can give. And here's another thing, and some of our brethren, our sisters and our brothers, and I'm not calling names, but everybody knows who I'm talking about. Some of you grew personally this week because you did something that you had not done before. You taught a class and you had not taught a class before. It caused you to grow spiritually. And the experience of doing it is what caused you to grow. Because it caused you to dig deeper into God's word. Amen. You read the Bible more than you normally probably would have read the Bible. Amen. I said, I'm not calling out anybody, but I'm just pointing out what happens when we serve God. What happens when we give God the glory, the honor, and the praise. You see, we don't lose when we give God what he's supposed to have. We don't lose when God is number one, because God is always bringing us along with him. It's a wonderful thing to serve God to the glory of God. You can't get any better than living your life to the glory of God. Can't get any better than serving and being energetic and being busy doing the will of God, and then giving God all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And you'll be surprised. People will start making comments. You know, so-and-so, wow, they really have gotten it together. They changed. They've grown. And, you know, I really can see what God is doing in them. Why don't you open yourself up and allow God to do all that he can do for you? I want to close by asking this question. Are you serving in the Lord's church? You see, the church is the greatest institution that has ever been built. Amen. I don't care what institution, what organization you name. It's not as great as the church. The church affects souls in every country, in every place on earth. The church is designed to touch and to heal and to be a hospital for every kind of sick person there is. The church, just built up of individual members, is designed such that if we live right here on earth, we will have eternal life with God in heaven. The church is designed to be a voice in the wilderness of sin and in this world that says, here's what's right and here's what's wrong. The church is designed to be a lighthouse, a beam of light in a world of darkness that will lead you to Jesus Christ and eternal life. Oh, the church is a wonderful thing. Amen. But you can't be serving in the church until you get in the church. Amen. And the only way that you can get in the church is to believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Amen. John 8 and verse number 24. Therefore, I said unto you, you shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, you shall die in your sins. In order to get into the church, we must be willing to repent of our sins. Luke 13:3 says, I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repeated again in verse number 5. We must be willing to confess Christ before men. Matthew 10, verse 32, 33, Romans 10, also points out that we must confess Christ. In Romans, or in Acts, in Matthew 10 rather, the Bible says that we need to confess Christ before men. If we confess Christ before men, Christ says, I will confess you before my Father who's in heaven. If you deny me, then I will deny you. Notice also, we have to believe in our heart that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. We have to confess with our mouth. When we do that, then we are telling the world that I'm going to give glory, honor, and praise to God. Amen. Every day we wake up, we give God the glory. Amen. Every day we wake up, we realize the alarm clock didn't wake us up. But that God woke us up. Amen. If you're here this morning, you need to understand that in order to be serving in the church, you have to get into the church. And the only way to get into church is to be baptized into Christ. Peter said on the day of Pentecost, when people cried out, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 3:21, talking about baptism, that it is a like figure whereunto baptism does also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but an answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. You must be baptized into Christ. In the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse number 28, it says that we are baptized into Christ, that we put on Christ. If you're here this morning, and if you have not put Christ on in baptism, that's how you get into the church. And I don't mean just into any church, because some folks will tell you all you got to do is just stand right where you are and receive him into your heart. But I gave you scripture and verse for what you have to do. The Bible says you have to be baptized into the Lord's church. You can spend a lot of time working and being busy in an organization that does not belong to the Lord. That's just a newsflash. But the Lord's church, in Acts 2 and verse number 47, when you're baptized, believing in Christ, he adds you to his church. Amen. And then you have to live faithfully. You have to do what God's word tells you to do. You have to do what you know is right to do. If you live faithful till this life is over, you have eternal life with God. And folks, we need to be busy doing some work for the Lord. Amen. Amen. We need to be serving him to the glory, to the honor and praise of God. Amen. To the glory of God. If you're here this morning and you need to come, please come as we together stand and sing.
I really love the Lord. Well, I really love the Lord.
Will you come this morning?
You don't know what he's done for me. He gave me the victory. I love him, I love him, I really love the Lord.
Will you come to Jesus this morning?
Oh, don't you know I really love, I love the Lord.
Time to come.
You don't know what he's done for me. He gave the victory, and that's why I love him. Why I love him, I love him, I really love, I love the Lord. You don't know what he's done for me. He gave me the victory. I love him, I love, oh, I really love, I love the Lord.
Amen, amen. You've been a beautiful audience as you listened to the Word of God this morning. It's my prayer that you've been uplifted and encouraged and motivated by the things that were proclaimed. May God continue to bless you. And also, I want to encourage you to read the article that's in the bulletin. It gives a little history of the United in Christ and the mega worship. And so it's a way of encouraging you. Next Sunday, there will not be an evening service, but we're going to have a mega worship where black, white, and Hispanic congregations of the Churches of Christ will come together on Sunday afternoon, and we will worship and praise God together according to the scriptures. Thank you. May God bless you. Amen.